Hi, my name is Gunnar Froh and I'm your host on the Wunder Mobility podcast. All right, welcome back to the Wunder Mobility podcast. Today I'm with Alessio. Welcome.
Nice to meet you, Gunnar. It's a pleasure to be here and talk about micromobility.
Alessio, you're founder and CEO of Elerent. And for those who don't know, Elerent has about 60 cities in more south of Europe, Italy, Spain, Greece, Malta, operating multimodal shared mobility. So we're going to talk about this. It's a bit unusual to go multimodal. And the other aspect, kind of from a high level about your business that is also a little bit unusual, is the franchise model that you're running. But before we go into how all of this is going and what you learned along the time, can you talk a bit about how you got into this business?
Yes. It's an interesting story because all start from a trip in Lisbon. I was there around the 2019. I'm going there for fun, and I see the first scooter, a Kia scooter, around the city. And was a shock because I come from Italy where the scooter there isn't in that time. So I see that and I say, wow, it's the future is very useful. I use for go all around the Lisbon city. And I think, it's amazing. I want this in Italy. I want this in my home country. For that, I start to study how to start this type of business. I try to start to understand what are the difficult, what are at the time the model that are enabled to sharing. And at the time, there was only Okai and Segway. From that, I decided to start to development all the part of the software. From that, I have the first difficult because the software is the most difficult part of this business, and so I move and decide to start with a white label solution that I find online. That was another guy from Rome, the two wire guys. So from that I decided to start this adventure. I've already, and when I have already around March of 2020, there is the COVID. So we have to stop all and reorganize all the business and finally launch our first city in June. In June 2020, we launch our first city, and from that we set the business start and done.
Tell us a bit about your background, what you did in this time when you saw the first scooters on the streets in Portugal, because I think that has influenced also how you're running the business now. What did you do before, even still going on in parallel at the moment?
Yeah. Before of Sartellerent, I came from the franchising business. I worked from different type of franchising in Italy, in Spain, and in other country for the business development and for the expansion in many areas. So with this background, I have a background in food, in retail, and micromobility was new for me, but it was a sector that for the first time that I see was very fascinated, very amazing to run. So I think why don't apply our knowledge in the franchising in this new sector that was on the scratch in 2019. So I decided to start to test. I launched our first city, like our direct city for testing. Like in the franchising, you have to test the business, and after that you can start to sell the franchise to other people. So we start to test. We start to have a first city managing directly, and after that we start the development. Yeah, this is the idea.
Right now, when I'm reading about 60 cities that you are serving, almost all of them in the franchise model? So you have your initial one that you ran for yourself to learn, and then everyone else is a franchise, or do you have a mix of your own cities and franchise partners?
Yeah, now the situation is that we have a 90% of franchisee. So many of the cities that we have are managed by franchisee. But sometimes we enter directly in some cities because maybe it's an opportunity of business, or maybe it's interesting for a developer. For example, Malta is like a mix, an hybrid. So it's our franchisee from Sicily that decided with us. So in a joint venture with Elerent, Moder, and one franchisee to start the business in Malta. Or in Spain too, we have some cities that we are managing directly and the other with franchisee. So yeah, for now it's 90% franchisee, but where there are some opportunity or interesting for us for grow more fast and directly, we apply directly and we start managing the business directly.
What's the benefit from your experience of the franchise model? So why do you prefer usually in 90% of the cases to find a franchise partner than rather than to launch with your own team?
Yeah, our focus now is normally on the medium and little city sides or touristic place. So for this type of city, it's better have, we learned that it's better have people from the city that manage the operation. This is because the people from the city have local connection, know the territory, know where there are the festival, manifestation, or every type of activity that happens in the city. So it's more inside the life of the city. And for manage a service that is fundamental for the citizen, the people that live in the city, one people that is from there is the best people for manage the operation. So this is the first motivation. The second is that until now, we don't have access to any type of fund or venture capitalist help because we prefer to grow directly. And for that, for do an expansion like that, the only way is a franchisee model because we have to scale and we have now more of 3,000 available on the state. So a big investment that without any external fund, very difficult to manage. So these are the two big reasons. I studied a different model in the market before launching our franchise model. I studied a Beard model and other that is the most famous, but many other type. I studied too the fleet management model that is like Lime or other operator are working. But I prefer this type of model because in our type of franchisee model, the franchisee is operative and responsible in first person. So in that case, is a win-to-win contract, and we provide our knowledge, our know-how in the sector, the better price with the spare parts, with the warehouse, with all. And he put his knowledge on the territory and his operation way. So it is good for us and good for the franchisee.
And if I understand correctly, you mentioned the main advantages, local operations and the vehicle financing, basically, because you don't rely on an external investor so far. So is it correct that the franchise partner basically buys the vehicles from you? So different from maybe like a Bird franchise model where they would pay a revenue share, a large revenue share, I should say, the whole time. Here, there's also probably a revenue share, but they also have to finance the vehicles up front.
No, we have a mixed formula. We have two formulas. The first formula is the franchisee classic formula. That is franchisee buy the vehicle from us. That we have before negotiated the price with Tokai Segway because we don't buy only 20 vehicles, for example. We buy a lot of 500, 200 vehicles, so we obtain a better price for the quantity. And we resell to the franchisee. So franchisee buy from us the vehicle. After that, we have a fixed and a percent royalty. So the percent royalty is on the income, but it's a little percent income, and a fixed cost for euro per day for vehicle active. So it's like a fixed cost for cover, you know, the Stripe cost or fixed cost like authentication and other external costs that we have. So in that case, the franchisee don't have any other costs connected. So it's only this fixed and percent cost. This is the first formula. The second is that we have an alternative formula for all investor. So in that case, the investor don't manage the fleet, don't do anything. It's like only an investment. That is like adopt a scooter. So people can buy 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 scooters from us. And we manage for them in one of our cities directly or one of our franchisee cities. And they take a revenue share from every income that they have.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you also have the model where they are like a investor in the local operation, basically, but you are running the operations for them and they take a revenue share the other way around. Who's your typical franchise partner? How should we imagine them? Maybe they are super diverse, or do you see some commonalities? Like it's a local business person that already has a different business and they add this or something. How would you describe your like typical and favorite franchise partner?
Yeah, after 3 years, I can say that our franchisee model is a local businessman that have normally 1, 2, or 3 type of business in the city and won't insert this other business in his wallet of business. This because another characteristic of this business is that you have vehicle with your name and your advertising or something around all the city. So many times can happen that if you have a local business, a good local business, and you add this type of business with your vehicle in all the city, with your advertising itself or promotion of cross-selling, for example, use the scooter and you get a discount in this shop or in this restaurant, something like that, they can mix both the activities. So it's very interesting for local people. So this is the characteristic. Normally, the people that start the franchise with us in the past or in the present is yet an entrepreneur because I have knowledge of how to run a business. Local, but is a business.
That's an interesting aspect. So I guess they are all running under the Elerent brand. And all through one app, but they can put additional advertising on their vehicles, I guess, and then basically do some upsell, cross-sell, some out-of-home advertising in their city for their other business, basically. And why did you choose to go multimodal? That's not super common. What triggered this, and how do you think that's working for you at the moment? Something you like love and want to do more, or are you more leaning to going to one vehicle type mostly in the future?
We start with the scooter because it's the most famous vehicle, most hype vehicle now in the market. But we decide to start to go multimodal because we have many reasons for that. The first is, for example, in Italy, the scooter is very under the eye of the state, and every day you can see an article that say from tomorrow the scooter are banned, or from tomorrow the scooter have to add the light direction, the bell, the special camera. So it's a market very fast and very changeable. So for that we have to learn other type of vehicle to manage, and for that we open to other type of vehicle. The other way is that I think that the scooter not cover all the type of requests that we have in a city. So we see, for example, the bike are most used from the woman. Women prefer the bike respect the scooter. And the moped is an alternative. The moped not cover the same type of trip that do the scooter. So it's another segment of income that we can take. So the thing that we are trying to do is try to approach bike and moped in parallel with small quantity where we have yet the scooter. So trying to scale and trying to integrate that in the our multimodal fleet. We don't start with 1,000 moped to introduce in a new city because I know that it will be very difficult to manage a fleet of a vehicle that you don't know, of operation that you don't know. But we are starting to do this for know the operation and know the difficulty of moped and bike too, and try to scale these two because it's another type of market, another type of franchisee, another type of development that we can do in the future.
Interesting. You are taking on more complexity somehow through these different vehicle types, but you are unlocking additional use cases or user groups who maybe, you said women for bikes, for example, sometimes prefer bikes over scooters. And there's a lot of discussion in our industry and about our industry, how these free-floating models in most cases are not profitable yet. And will they even exist in a few years, or will this be more a B2G kind of dock-based solution in most cases and so on? If I may ask directly, because you're also not a public company, but are you profitable, I assume, at the moment, if you don't have investors? Are you, or is Elerent already operating profitably then, or?
Yeah. The reason why we don't have any type of investment is that we are profitable from the day zero. We scale the operation in a sustainable way. So we have we haven't now 20,000 of vehicle in the street, but we have the vehicle in the street for be profitable for now, and we continue to scale at our rhythm of scalable. This is good, and it's good too for franchisee because our local activity franchisee are all profitable and all are going profitable, all are improving the fleet. We have many franchisee that start with 50 scooters, and now we have, for example, 150, for example. We double or triple triplicate the fleet layers or open a new city. For example, we have many franchisees that open the first city, the first year that we start, and now they manage 2, 3, 4, 5 cities, for example. So this is good because when a franchisee open a city and can scale it to a second, third city, fourth city, and many other, the franchisee yet have a know-how. And yet know how to run the business in a profitable way. So mm-hmm. we can continue to scale directly and with new franchisee and with the existing franchisee. So this is very interesting in the long-term vision.
Do you see a big difference in this either profitability aspect or just other aspects of how they run the operations between your different markets, also between the different countries? Or do you think kind of the way to launch and operate a shared micromobility business profitably is kind of the same in Greece, Italy, on Malta and Spain?
It's very difficult country by country for many reasons for me. The first is because in some country there are more operators and in other country there are many little operators. So it's a very difficult type of market. For example, in Italy we have a market that in the big city is dominated from the big operator. Mm. In the little city, there are many local operators until 1 year ago. Now there is an creation of a big entity of little operator for combat to the big operator. Greek, for example, is different. It's like a virgin market. There are only a few operators. Spain, a different market too, because it's a market that in the past exploded with many operators. After after some year, there are some cities that closed the sharing program, like Barcelona and something like that. And so now there are not big quantity of operators. For now, our idea is concentrating our energy in the country that for now there isn't a big competition, so we can scale and we can grow. This is our plan. For example, our plan is launching the East Europe now for the summer, two other countries that we have ready.
And Eastern Europe too, yeah. In addition to Southern Europe. And how do you think this like competitive environment will evolve? I guess a few years ago, we should have assumed that Bird, Lime, Tier, Voi maybe will go from the big cities also into the smaller ones. But now that doesn't seem to be the case. How was your prediction on the hotel landscape, including the tier two markets, tier three markets, in terms of number of operators, competitive dynamics in 2 or 3 years?
Yeah, I think that for sure there will be a cut of number of operators. I think most of the big maybe merged or collaborating in something like that. I don't think there are markets now for 10 big operators, for example. I think that in the future we can see three or four big operators that manage the biggest city in Europe or in the world. Mm-hmm. But I think that there will be space for the medium and little city for a business like us, because our business that are better managed by local. So our line is continuing this in this way. We don't want to compete in Rome, Milan, or Barcelona, or something, or Paris, or something like that. We want to continue to invest in the medium and touristic city and grow in this segment, because we think that in this segment now we are the best operator for this type of dimension, for scale. We don't want to compete with Lime, Bird, or something like that, because I think we do a different type of work. It's a different type of market, and I think in that market, in the next 2-3 years, we can see two or three big operators that dominate the whole scenario of Europe.
And what's the reason, again, that these ones who manage to dominate the big cities won't also come to the smaller ones from your perspective? Like, why is, if in the end of the day, you describe your ideal franchise partner, it's a local business person, maybe has multiple businesses, why are they going to win against the city manager of Tier, for example, or of, you name it, Bird?
Yeah, this is interesting, because in some case we are in some city where we have to confront with a big operator. But I think that the advantage of the local operator is that they can manage locally operation, and they can offer maybe a better service for a less price to the city. So maybe for some tender, a big company have to propose a much higher price for be profitable in that city and for manage the operation, while our local operator can offer a discount price because the operational costs are more low, because maybe he have yet a warehouse for his other business, or he have yet a camion or cargo for other business. So the start expenses are more low, mm-hmm. respect an external operator that have to came in the city.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned tenders. Are you or your franchise partners also participating now in public tenders?
Yeah, we are participating in different public tender, and we are continuing to participate. For example, the last one is the tender in Sicily, in Italy, for Messina, one of the biggest mm-hmm. cities in Sicily, and we are selected with the other 9 operators. So there, for example, we are with Tier, Voi, Lime, Bird, and all. And we have a local operator that wants to start the business there. So, yeah.
That's a tender for a license to operate, right? Not like to run the city bike sharing system, for example.
No, it's a tender like a tender or something like mm-hmm. that.
Yeah. Okay, interesting. All right, and what's your biggest bottlenecks at the moment as someone who's running operations in so many different cities and interacting with franchise partners. So where do you think needs to go the most attention in the next 2 years or so to make some improvements? Is that around just the quality of the hardware, or maybe fraud prevention, or maybe, I don't know, other topics? Like, what's for you the most annoying part of the business that still needs the most improvement at the moment?
At the moment, I believe that apart of the mobility, there are many other type of income that we can take connected to our micro mobility service. So looking to the technology that make able this is our most important goal now, and we are continuing looking around for take the best technology and take the best revenue to our franchisee. For example, I believe that an important place have to be the advertising connected to the vehicle. I see something very good that have do Elbix in the past, when for example you unlock the vehicle and you have a little display video of 5 seconds like advertising, or something like you pass near a restaurant or activity and you get a push notification. Something like that, I think, that can improve the revenue of the micromobility and can be another important revenue part of the business. Other is all the connected service mobility that we want to improve. So for that, our most important difficult to solve is find other connectivity business to connect to our micromobility space and to scale in the future in the city where we are.
Can you give an example of this one? The advertising, I think everybody can understand, maybe on the vehicle, maybe in the app, a kind of an out-of-home ad network where it's maybe not allowed before by the city, but now it's possible on the vehicles. But what about the connected services? What do you mean by that? Can you give an example?
Yeah, connected service. I think that the model, for example, the Bolt model or the Careem model, Grab model, all these type like super app are going for the right way. I believe in the super app way. So I think that connected service to the micro mobility service are a good way for improve the business and get more revenue. Just because I learned one important thing from the micro mobility, that when you put a scooter or vehicle in the street in a city, you get many users. Respect how you can get from an online service. So improving the service that you can connect from the user base that you have is the best way for scale your operation. And is that we are working to. And for example, long-term rental too. We are improving the long-term rental from our user, because many users, for example, try the scooter, try the moped in the city, but after some times that they spend trip, they think, okay, I want this type of scooter, this type of moped, but only for me, like private, but with the sharing technology. And we are improving that. So this is an example. Advertising is another example. But there are many other things that are in the mind, but for now are only in building phase. Yeah.
I'm curious about this. I was reading like the description of your company on LinkedIn, for example, and so my Italian is like half good. I cannot speak certainly, but I can try to read it. And it was talking about the also build the best distribution network for vehicles. Sounded to me like not just by the minute rental, but actually instead of a dealership to receive the vehicles. And now you mentioned the long-term rental case. Is that something you are already testing somewhere? Are you already distributing vehicles into like a subscription or a sale outright somewhere, or is that more further down the future?
Yeah, we have yet started with the subscription business. For now, we don't have do many marketing of this, because we are managing the requests from our A60 user. But it's a service that is yet active. In the future, our plan is create some hub, something like hub to connect to the big apartments, big community, for offer service of mobility on demand. So I think that there is a part of the free floating, another type of market that in the future can be developed that is connected to the hub. So like vehicle on demand, vehicle on a service for micro mobility.
That's cool. Makes me think of the kind of car vending machines of Carvana in the US, which I guess now they reduced the number of those. But this idea that instant access to your vehicle and not just by the minute, but certainly a lot of people eventually want to go into ownership, but also easily in and out of this ownership situation. And on the connected services, you were talking about some like super app examples, and then they're basically taking advantage of the daily or near daily interaction with the micromobility to sign up a lot of users, maybe get on their home screen and then offer other services on top. And I've seen some few examples. Okay, Uber is a very, very big one, of course, of this connection, but there are some also regional, but very few examples where they combine grocery delivery and micromobility now. But it's not really like the common case. Usually it's like focused on one business model, even maybe on one vehicle type. How do you see this evolving? Would you envision just linking to a partner somehow so that you can show other options to your user and then redirect elsewhere? Or how do you think this will really look like in the future?
Yeah, I think that there are operators that are doing great work in this, like apart from Uber, yeah, that is a big, there are Bolt, for example, that have Bolt Food, ride hauling, car sharing, many other activity connected. And Bolt for me is a very good example of that. There is Karim in the Middle East, that is another very good example. There is Grab, that is the super app of the Asian market, and another big example. So I think that there are companies that are doing this with a good job. In our little cities, our idea is try to scale one service at a time. So not put many services all in one, but put one service at a time. First introduce advertising, after introduce long-term, after introduce other business. And when we are able to manage all, we connect the next. So when we are good with one, we can pass to the other.
Cool. Well, it's super interesting. To hear about this, to hear from your story, kind of the original discovery as a user, from a user perspective, I think many people share with this, but then how you managed to get into the market actually without investors as a profitable business from the beginning by leveraging a lot of local entrepreneurs to also share part of the investment, but also maybe other assets that they have, like you mentioned their investment might be less because they already have some infrastructure, connections that they have, local insights. Now you are at this kind of scale in terms of cities and fleet and basically want to evolve the product further. But interestingly, when I asked you, most people talk nowadays about like some cost problems in fraud or blah, 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 vehicle quality, spare parts and so on. You went straight to the revenue because you basically want to grow the revenue more with long-term rental, with additional connected services. It's very, very fascinating. What's a prediction that you maybe can share towards the end something that you see coming in our space that you think is kind of interesting, but not everyone's realizing it yet?
Yeah, I think that this year, this closing year after the good season, will be the year of merger. I think that we see many, many, many big and little mergers. And it's something that we are looking to. So we are looking for local operator or little company that want a merger for entering a system and be profitable, because maybe we can offer our technology, our knowledge base or our vehicle for scale. So I think that for this year, this is the trend. We can see many, many other type of mergers like this. And Yeah,
more than some of us might realize yet. Yeah, I think you might be right. I wouldn't bet on this year, but maybe, I don't know, in the next 2 years, but for sure this must be coming. All right, wow. super nice to talk to you today. Thanks for taking the time with us, and all the best for these next for this season.
Yeah, thank you to you. It was very nice talk with you, and
see you in Amsterdam in 2 days, I guess. Then
perfect. Thank you.
All right. Bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.